You're listening to Compassion Radio. On Compassion Radio today, we have an on-the-scene report from Brian Stewart of ARDF, the Anglican Relief and Development Fund, one of the most active and up-and-coming smaller organizations that's involved directly with providing relief and immediate response in all kinds of parts of the world, now even more so because of Hurricane Helene, right here in America. Here's that conversation. Brian, introduce yourself to us, if you would, and describe the story of how God put you in this position just so recently.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm sorry we had to meet under these circumstances, of course.
We all are.
The work that we're doing at ARDF through our ACNA parishes and people on the ground, God works. I believe in it. You don't know why you're put in certain positions, but things put in your path that you just never saw coming. And this is one of those things. I was just a parish coordinator. I was a person that was serving at my own parish in Tallahassee at St. Peter's. And I have a passion for this work. I have a background not only in the media where we worked in storm relief, but also working for an organization that built vehicles to go out and do relief after hurricanes and after storms. And oh, by the way, we also get to pray to start our meetings and pray to end our meetings. It's also pretty good.
This really is a spiritual exercise for anybody who's of the faith, who's involved with disaster relief. There is nothing, as you would say, secular about throwing your whole heart and life into there and letting God use you. It is absolutely finding where God is at work and going to meet him there.
Well, Tommy Lamb was the director before me at ARDF, and he gave me the best advice ever and said, go where the Holy Spirit leads you. Yeah. And I do believe in that. I think we all have opportunities that we feel like we need to make the decision of what we think is best. When you just sit and be still and let God kind of tell you where to go, they will open those doors. And I'll give you a great example of that. In Douglas, Georgia, there's a community that is just northeast of Tallahassee, Florida, and we saw the storm. It was coming for Tallahassee. I think if people saw that track, we were right in the crosshairs. I remember seeing one radar indicate that the path was going to go right through my backyard. Absolutely devastating. Anything like that happening in your town would be horrible. Well, the church in Douglas, Georgia reached out and said, hey, if you guys want to come up here, if you want to sleep here, if you need food, if you need anything after the storm comes through, you just say the word and St. Andrews is going to be there for you. Well, guess what happened? That storm shifted east. And that storm has completely devastated that community. I spent all day in Douglas today looking at no house being spared from having a tree on top of it and no power line still standing. We had a truck of supplies delivered this morning as part of a relationship with the Lutheran Church in North America. And those supplies were gone within 2 hours. Wow. Our church did a water drive during our service on Sunday, and I was able to bring a truckload of water and snacks up to this community. Those were gone within 2 hours. Yeah. I mean, the need is great, and we were happy to be able to fulfill that. But the most heartbreaking part of it is Gray is the junior warden at this church. And he said, can I Venmo you some money? Can you bring some food from Tallahassee? I said, brother, put your wallet in your pocket. We are going to take care of you. We're going to bring these things up. And they've been so grateful and so thankful. But that's just one community. We're looking at places all along the Eastern Seaboard right now that need our help.
There's plenty of anecdotes throughout history of people saying God's moving us to be ready because we assume we're going to be serving you. And what it means is God wants that communication open because they're the ones that are going to be in need. They just don't know it yet. So that story for me says God prepares not just the times and places, but prepares the hearts to be able to work together and have an open communication line so that you can hit the ground running, but not like a chick with your head cut off. You are focused. You have a base there. You have people that need you, and you went. So you've got experience in the technical side of relief work. You're in a part of the world that is absolutely in the crosshairs of all kinds of bad weather events, and you're at the epicenter of some of the worst weather we've had in America the past few years. So you're battle ready. And you're toughened up. That would normally be cause for celebration that you're ready to go. At the same time, it takes a huge toll emotionally on you to be having to be vigilant constantly. You are on the point of the spear now with an organization that is growing and the need for it growing faster than ever, probably more than you can handle with the resources you have, but for God. So how do you, as a point person there who's supposed to be leading by example and giving wisdom and insight and be able to solve problems on the spot, how do you keep yourself sane?
That's a great question. Family is my rock. My wife
Yeah.
happens to be our children's director at our church, and I see the battles she has to face every day.
Yeah.
So if she can make it, I can make it. But one of the things at the Anglican Relief and Development Fund, we empower the local church to be able to serve their community. And where I find power, and obviously rooted in faith and driven by God, is that I'm able to be in this position to call a rector in Asheville, South Carolina, and say, I know you didn't ask for this. This is not something that was ever on your radar. I know
Yeah.
you've never coordinated disaster relief supplies to be able to serve your community, but I'm going to walk alongside you and I'm going to help you do it. And I'm here to tell you that the rector in Asheville, North Carolina, dead center in the flood zone for this
Yeah.
storm, received a truck this morning, was able to distribute supplies. They've got a team of four-wheelers coming in to be able
Good.
to reach people that aren't able to be reached by normal means. And he is having to do things that he never thought he would have to do in his ministry.
Yeah.
But for God, like you said, he has been an amazing resource to his community. So ARDF being able to empower that church to feel confident that they can do it and they're not doing it alone is something that drives me, because I know I can't do it. I can't do it alone. There's no way. But for God being able to point us in the right direction and show us where to go. And from that relationship, we're moving out to different organizations and different
Good.
churches out from Asheville. We know that that's not it. We know this is a long-term recovery. It's not going to be just this week. It's not going to be just this month, but we're going to be able to walk alongside people. And we're learning every day what people need. I was being told by people in North Carolina that they need water, and it's not only to drink,
Right.
but it is because they need it to cook with, they need it to do sanitary things with, but they don't even have water to boil. They can't
Right.
go to a resource of even contaminated water to make it useful. They are completely without right now, and the immediate need is to make sure they're in a better position tomorrow than they are today.
There's stories I remember about people living in the Himalayas that had a well they could go to anytime. It was a very secure well, but it was across a bridge over a river, and then a disaster comes and wipes the bridge out, and now you are across a river, a chasm from the only water your village even has. What do you do then? I mean, suddenly the logistical nightmare of being stuck behind an impossibility is where God ends up dropping people like you, saying, you can't even get to your river because it's choked with debris right now to even get a bucket of it out to flush your toilet. You're having to troubleshoot those as you go. You said something important a second ago, Brian, about working with the rectors, and for those who are outside the Anglican tradition or other Episcopal histories, that refers to basically the church administrator and the one who gets things done in the fellowship that you are in that community. So they're the all-purpose people, the Swiss Army tool person in the church staff. Getting them on board, not just to reach their people and take care of other Anglicans out there, but to set them up as a lighthouse, a resource center, and inventing them into a mini ARDF right where they are, is what you're trying to do, and you're having to. And this is obviously an all hands on deck. Even though the South is blanketed with Methodists and Baptists, there's not going to be a shortage of opportunity here, and you are absolutely committed to be working arm in arm with as many people as God sends you for these events. So, how is it working out? Are these rectors and these other administrators and coordinators in these churches responding quickly to you? Are they jumping in with both feet? How are they absorbing the trauma they're going through and also the opportunity they have to reach out to their communities with the rest of the Christ community?
Yeah, they've been grateful. I think the thing that I would say is that they're relieved to know they're not in this alone.
Yeah.
There are other people that are going to walk alongside them. And the thing that really helps is there have been rectors from churches all across South Carolina and even Christ Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Andrew Rowles reached out and said, hey, where can we go? We have these resources. How can we help? So, as my position as director in this organization, when I went to Prudential Council, that was basically my first Anglican thing. I've been a member for a long time, but
Okay.
I've never attended anything like that in my life. And I thought, man, the ACNA is huge. How am I going to be able to reach so many people? But what I've learned is this community is tight. This community is working together, and that makes the country feel a lot smaller to me. And that means that there are people willing to cross state lines, cross
Yeah.
dioceses, and cross bridges to help people in their need. So we have people right now on this day that we're talking that are ready to go. My next job and what I would ask for prayers for is being able to find what the needs are and the specific places that I can send people in to be effective. There's no shortage of helpers. We just need to know where to send them and where they can be most effective next.
All right, folks, you've heard the call to prayer here. Brian's asking for insight for where God says, you go next. Chessboard full of moving pieces. You're not the only one out there, but you have a very special purpose and calling, and you're going to find unique opportunities that no one else is going to find because you say, yes, God, send me wherever you want me. And God doesn't waste his resources. He doesn't waste his people. He doesn't waste your time. But he does say, be patient. Use that time wisely, letting God put in your hearts and minds the kind of vision for the thing you're going to do so that when it appears, it's like, yes, that's it. My heart resonates with this opportunity. I know this is what God has us here for. And there's a confidence that goes with that. I'm praying, and I'm going to ask the people who are listening to this program across the country just to say the same thing. God, give them true wisdom and insight, a vision for what they've been called to do at ARDF to make a difference in this tremendous nation-scale disaster here in America. Listen to and pray with Brian Stewart of ARDF. You've seen a bit of it already. Put eyes on the ground. What is it like in the dead center path of this storm?
You know, it's easy to glaze over when you walk through some of these communities because every house, it's not just one house. I've seen some tornado damage. I've done this a while in various means, but this is tornado damage that has happened to an entire city where there's no clear path. It's just everything. Every street you go up and down has some sort of devastation. I got to see a park today that a donor gave a bunch of money to have this park redone, and they just had the ribbon cutting a couple of weeks ago, and now it's completely destroyed. I did a ride along with a person that walked me up and down his neighborhood and said, you know, this is my house. This is our retired doctor. This is an orthodontist and a pediatrician. And these are people that live in this house. This is not just a blank slate of devastation. These are people's homes. These are people's lives. And now they have holes in their roof that make their house uninhabitable, and they're having to do what they can to survive, not knowing what the next day is going to hold. Are they going to have power? And even if they have power, can they even live in that house anymore? It's scary stuff. I mean, you see the power lines down. There are certain streets that you can't drive down just because of obstructions that are in the way. But I will tell you that everyone that I talked to today said there are community members that have gone out with literally just a chainsaw and cut people out of situations where they were stranded, and they didn't get asked to do that. That's just what they did because that's what neighbors do. And you know what? That sense of community and that sense of strength is something that I believe is 1,000% faith-based. There are people in community that, but for God, wouldn't be able to help others. But God tells us to help our neighbor, and people are helping people every day in communities all across the path of this storm.
I know in many countries that I've traveled the past 40 years, when the Christians who are faithful and living under what we would consider adverse situations, either because of persecution or abject poverty or lack of opportunity, when you ask them, when you think about the Christian church around the world, what do you pray for? And I've heard more than once people have said, we just pray that you'll get enough persecution, enough need, so you'll be turning to God every day like we do, and you'll see the opportunity and grow strong in your faith so that when God calls you to something, you're going to be powerful. We pray for God's power to come to you. And that always stunned me because that obviously is something that came from the heart of God, not from somebody who's in need or want or wants a hand up from somebody else, but someone who already is locked into the power of God in their lives, no matter what their circumstances are. And I do think that disasters like this do bring out our better angels, especially for people who claim to be of the faith, and bring out the opportunity to say, okay, now's the chance for the gospel to become alive in you. So what's your challenge to your people in your parishes? What's the big message to them right now?
Selfishly, it's a gratefulness that it didn't happen to you, because it could have. There's a lot of people, especially in our and where I live, that this storm absolutely could have happened to our community. And by God's grace, we were spared, but that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. We have other people who are called to serve. I've lived on the panhandle for the past almost 9 years now, and I lived through Hurricane Michael, and I saw that come through Panama City, and I see the trees still today that show signs of that terrible storm that affected the landscape. And this has changed the landscape of people's communities that they've grown up in and they've lived in. If you can just look around, if you live in a community like Douglas, Georgia, or like Asheville, North Carolina, and you say, you know, that could have been me. Thank God it wasn't. What can I do to respond to help those people who feel hopeless right now? And that's what I would encourage everyone to do today.
Okay. Give me a story of something that was unexpected for you personally when you got there, maybe where you're looking around Southern Georgia or the conversations you've had on the phone with other folks across the South that you were not expecting to hear, or a story that maybe shocked you even now or inspired you, or something that is out of the ordinary.
At the church that I was in today, again, St. Andrew's in Douglas, it was the amount of people that just came, just showed up. There was no necessary call to action that there were going to be supplies. There was no prep work done to say, hey, be here this time in this place. It was frankly prayer to let the Holy Spirit let people know that there was stuff and come. And oh, by the way, there was a little sign that was put out on the sidewalk. But the volume of people and the word of mouth that just got around to say, hey, we've got things that can help you. Can you come here and get them? And to have them gone in an hour and a half, it was amazing. I thought, you know, when you send things for people to get, the struggle for me as a director of this organization is letting people know about it. And how foolish of me to think that there wasn't somebody going in front of me and letting people know that there was going to be resources available to them, because that's what happened. I truly believe that. I know that relief came because relief was provided, and I'm so proud of the work that they were able to do in this community. And oh, by the way, we've got the same thing happening in other communities. I've seen pictures from Asheville. I've seen, you know, people show up and be grateful for just anything. You always think, hey, what am I going to do? What can I contribute? Anything is better than nothing, right? God will find a way. God will find a way for people to serve and people to be blessed. And sometimes it's not even about the thing. It's about the thought that this came from someone who cares about me and somebody's thinking about me in my neck of the woods, and it's going to be okay. And we take those simple things for granted sometimes. And I hope we'll all pause today and think about how that works.
There's nothing simple about this kind of faith in action, but it's straightforward. I mean, none of it's easy. And even when you're in the middle of doing it, you're thinking, I don't have what it takes. And I imagine that a lot of people end up in the kind of relief work that you're doing right now, end up with imposter syndrome. I'm not cut out for this. What am I here for? And God says, yeah, you're the right person for this. I called you specifically. And he's reminding you through things, through the people you meet and the way they respond to you and the way you see God at work in them, that you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really. That is the heart, I think, of the kind of giving spirit, the gift of helps that he really truly builds into people who say yes like this. So God has obviously got you for this position and this time, and he puts you in position just in time for this particular event. So what's God been teaching you personally over the past 3 weeks or 3 months you've been involved with this particular project?
That's a great question. I think it's the humbleness to know that I can't do it all myself. There's no way. There are not enough resources in this world to let me do it alone. It takes everyone. It takes answering those text messages. I mean, I wish you could see my email box right
You answered mine. I was stunned.
It's rough. But being able, as my wife told me, she said, you've just got to calm down and let God tell you where to go, sort through the noise. And do the best you can. I'm just a big believer in effectively doing what you can that makes a difference and not spreading yourself so thin that you're not being effective anywhere, but you may be touching everywhere. So, what I'm going to try to do is connect with rectors of churches, use our parish coordinator network. You can see there are people on a map on ardf.org that show who has raised their hand and said, I will be the contact at my church for domestic disaster response. So I'm working my way through that network and recruiting others to say, I'm not committing you to go on a mission trip for a month every year. I just want you to read our communication. I want you to be the voice of ARDF in your parish and let other people know what opportunities are out there. Because even if you can't be the one that goes and serves, you can absolutely get that messaging out to your parish and let them know that there are opportunities for others to respond, and they have. We've sent
Good.
out messaging over the weekend. People have donated. It has been absolutely incredible to see the response so far of people donating to our disaster relief fund. We'll be able to use those funds immediately to make a positive impact on those that have been affected by this storm.
Well, amen to that. I got to second that emotion right there, because being called up to do something important at a crucial time, there is obviously an incentive and a reward that's very personal. You get a huge amount of internal satisfaction from knowing that you were able to participate in something that was successful and something that actually met a need and changed the circumstance for the better. And so I'm going to get out of the way on that one. I got to trust that God's going to take care of our Compassion Radio needs as a ministry of communication and just say, folks, give to this project. If you haven't already found somebody who's doing something directly for disaster relief in the areas affected by Hurricane Helene, consider ardf.org. That's the website of this organization that's doing this direct work right now. And Brian's on his way through the South to check on how it's all working and build that network of yes men and women who are saying, I'll step up. I'll be the one to at least step up and say, will you join me hand to hand and help solve this problem one house at a time? So if you need some place to give, friends, I can't recommend a better one than ardf.org. The giving page is right there, or the link to it is on the main page. So just give them a look after you finish listening to this broadcast. Okay, Brian, where to next? And where do you expect to be over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks?
I'm not actually the one that would hit the road on a circus trail to
Okay.
go visit every community. I just don't have the capacity for that. And I think that's okay because, again, ARDF wants to empower the local church to be able to be that person in their community. So I got to see this firsthand because it's close by to me. I'll head back to Tallahassee. We're going to do some work along the coast in Perry, Florida, and Steinhatchee, and some of those places where you saw that the storm made landfall. So I'm going to be a resource to my own parish and cathedral in Tallahassee. But I will be parked behind this laptop, coordinating with a
I'm
cell
sure
phone
you will.
and logistically sending supplies to where they're needed and helping people be ready, unfortunately, for the next one. I think we use this as an experience to learn. We use this experience to be prepared because I'm not a doom and gloom person, but you look at the radar for next week and there's another system possibility. It doesn't look as strong right now, but any kind of rain that's going to hit the coast of Florida is going to be bad news for anybody who's already in devastation. So I will be available. Anybody can reach out to me if they want to be a parish coordinator in their church. Not to not address the people on our West Coast, you may not get hurricanes, but wildfires has been a situation that people have faced, and we need to have plans in place if devastation comes from those sorts of things. So anybody can be an active participation in preparation for their church, and I want to be a resource to them for that.
Awesome. Well, Brian Stewart, ardf.org, the Anglican Relief and Development Fund. Give us once more, before we close off on this program, a soup to nuts about what ARDF is about, how it started, and how your people get involved.
For me, Hurricane Harvey was the birth of ARDF and domestic disaster response. You may know ARDF and international response much more because that's what we've been known for such a long time in continents other than our own. I've said it before, but we are about empowering the local church to make a difference. And we
Amen.
want to walk alongside churches to find what they tell us that the needs are and increase that impact. A perfect example of that, we just talked about wildfires. There was a church in New Mexico that was close to one of the wildfires, and there was a parishioner that was trying to help the people in shelters get through the night because they were running out of supplies. They didn't have towels, they didn't have toiletries, and she was trying to do a drive to do that. Well, when we connected with her, we were able to increase the impact that she was able to have to help more people. And that's the perfect scenario of how ARDF wants to help. If there's need, we want to be able to fill it, and we want to be able to raise the necessary funds so that we are able to help more people through the local church. That's obviously a very quick version of a very long story, but we are the arm of the Anglican Church that wants to be the help in times of disaster.
I'm with you in the ethic of everything is about flowing from God and back to Him. This is our spiritual service of worship. God put us here in this generation to be the people to be able to speak to these things and do these things. So we better not waste the time we've got. And I do pray that He'll provide plenty of resources for those who hear this program to help you in the work you're doing. And again, I'll refer people again to the ardf.org website so you can learn more about their ministry and give if you can right away. Last thing I'll ask you, Brian, I usually ask for a closing word, something that God's laid on your heart. If you had no restraints here and you really just kind of laid it on the table for all of us out here, what would you tell us?
It's not over. And it won't be over soon. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Sometimes with the news cycle, something else will happen and we move on. Just continue to keep these communities in your prayers. An example of that for me, I just came back from a mission trip in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, as part of Rolling Fork Rising. They were a community that were hit by tornadoes years ago, and they are still rebuilding homes. And Pastor Britt of Rolling Fork Baptist Church told me that that's the devil of it. Is
Oh,
that
yeah.
they're still rebuilding and they still need help and they're still doing the work. But then when another tornado happens or another hurricane happens, they start to fall down to the bottom of the list. Just don't let that happen. Let these communities know, if you happen to be near one, especially, that you're going to be alongside them for the long haul. When another storm comes and those anxieties start to creep back in, be praying for people as they
Yeah.
have to navigate that. A hurricane now is going to mean an entirely different situation than it may have before because they never thought they'd have to face it. And now having that scar tissue and having that experience of living through it is a new normal for them. So just think about them when those models come out and the forecast doesn't look great. Just know that this is a battle that they're facing.
So we need to be cautious about declaring mission accomplished too early. Thank you again for your great example, Brian. You are doing an important, glorious thing, but it does take a lot out of you. May God restore you in big ways and surprise you with joys along the way. So Brian Stewart of ARDF.org, thank you so much for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you'll join with us to make that happen. Call 1-800-868-2478 and jump in anytime at CompassionRadio.com.